Hey, how's it going, coaches? This is Jared Medlin, and welcome to the Coach Podcast.
Yes, and this is Eric Forrest. I'm here as well. It's good to be sitting in here with you, Jared. It feels like it's been a while somehow.
You know, time has just slowed down lately.
And sped up at the same time. Yes. I don't know what's happening. I have completely lost track of my life.
Well, everything like set into motion, fast pace, when we got the word just over a week ago that we were going to regather.
Yes.
The first weekend in August. And today is, we're recording this on a Tuesday, but we just had our first regathering this past weekend across all of our campuses, and it went well.
It did. Nothing exploded, as far as I've heard. And in case you coaches are listening and thought, yeah, I can't believe I got word, you know, just a few days before you started, it wasn't some massive conspiracy. That happened to us as well. So
yes.
We got the word and it was go time. And because CCV is just a place that finds a way to get things done, coaches and volunteers and staff, we all just, it happened.
Yes. Thank you for going with the flow.
Yes.
And man, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what this next season is going to bring. I just feel like students are raw right now. They've dealt with so much. And finally, we get to hang out with them in person and we'll just see what God does. And I think there's a great ministry opportunity coming over the next few months. So
for sure. Yeah. Because of that, we remain committed to doing whatever we can to equip you coaches to pour into you and just provide resources. And so today, what we're going to do, and hang with me here, because I promise this is going to be awesome. We are going to just go through, Jared and I were sitting around talking, kicking around ideas, and thought of like, what about just a quick top five books we would recommend to any youth coach?
Yep.
And believe they're not all like youth ministry specific books, but just
right.
Books that like, that we think would benefit you as a human, as a Christ follower, and as a coach.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I'm not just going to start talking about, because I know as soon as I said books, anyone out there who is like me thinks, oh yeah, books, I remember those. I should probably read more of them. I thought, like, let's just start ironically enough, and just so that you know that we are also like you, we love TV.
Yes.
There is a whole world of Netflix and Amazon Prime and whatever else you're watching. Maybe somebody still has cable. I don't know. But there's just a world out there of stuff that is so binge-worthy that it takes us away from books. And I kind of feel bad about that sometimes, but most of the time I just pick up the remote and start binging again. So, Jared, over the past few, like, what are you either currently binging or what got you through quarantine or whatever it is? What's going on the screen in the Medlin house right now?
Yeah. It's ironic that you bring this up because one of the books, the first book I'm going to recommend was a book that really has shaped how much TV watching we've done in the Medlin household. And it just happened to happen right before quarantine. So God bless this author. He wrecked my whole quarantine experience by limiting my TV consumption. But my wife and I chose one show that we would watch together over quarantine. And I'm going to lose my man card here. But I'm also going to say I really liked this show. And it was Downton Abbey. So there you go.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man, I knew. I'm just going to start talking before Eric can insert more criticism my way. But Downton was super fun. It was super fun. It was so different.
Fun?
It was.
Okay.
This world of this crazy rich British family set in the early 1900s. The characters were so well done. It was witty, old ladies making really funny jokes, and just the dialogues. Just it's a great show. It's quality. There was no crazy ridiculous F bombs that I had to like ignore that I'm a pastor, or crazy sexual stuff going on in the show, which was a good change for a lot of the shows that seem to get great reviews these days. So anyway, we watched Downton Abbey. Thought it was pretty good. To redeem part of my man card, I've been watching some of season 3 of Yellowstone.
Oh.
And I really like Westerns in general. Kevin Costner's a stud. So I've enjoyed that as well.
Yes. That's I'm with you on that second part. I accidentally caught 15 minutes of Downton Abbey a couple of years ago and immediately knew I wanted nothing more to do with that show. But that's just me. To each his own. That's the beauty of TV.
If you want
to
score some wife points, maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, she's already been through the season. I think she watched it with her mom or something. She's good. It'll be better for our marriage if we don't try to watch that together, because I'll just criticize and make fun of it the whole time, and it's just going to upset Sarah more.
Yes. How about you, though? What would you watch?
I always seem to come back to, like, I'm always, you know, checking out what's new, what's going on out there, but I keep coming back to, like, old standards that I love. We're still sort of working our way through it, but the show Psych. It was like a USA show back in, I don't know, the aughts or something, but just... It's a classic.
Okay.
I've been watching through it. It holds up. It is brilliant writing. It is hilarious. It's a guy who's hyper. It's sort of like The Mentalist, but funnier.
Okay.
And he just solves crimes and pretends to be a psychic and goofs around, and it's hysterical.
Nice.
And then when I find brief pockets when it's just me, like my wife isn't the. There's no wife and kids around and I'm watching TV. I don't know why I like this show, but I just found it on Amazon Prime and I used to watch it all the time. It's called Shipping Wars.
Okay.
It's like one of those fake reality TV shows following these independent contractors who ship weird crap all over the country. I explained it that way. It sounds like the dumbest show in the world, and it is, but it sucks me in and I love watching it.
Those shows like that, like Ice Road Truckers, it's so strange, but it just sucks you in.
Yeah, I can't explain it.
Well, more power to you, Eric.
Well, thank you. Okay, now that we've talked about the things we do to damage our brains,
yes,
let's dig into to some stuff that can actually help our minds and our souls and all that good stuff.
There you go. Here we got five books to recommend. The first one I already did a precursor for. It wrecked my life just a little bit. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. It's been a pretty popular book I've seen around Christian circles over the past year. I read this last fall, and it literally did just wreck my life. And John Mark Comer is just a solid author, pastor, communicator. And I would just recommend this book for any coach out there who maybe just feels overwhelmed right now. If you're a little overwhelmed, maybe it's the pace of your life, circumstances, this is a great read. If you're a coach who maybe your relationship with Jesus feels a little rushed, like if you find yourself skipping quality time with Jesus, rushing through reading the Bible and your prayer life, this is a book for you. Any coach who maybe you struggle keeping a consistent Sabbath in your life. This has been a struggle for me for a long time. This book has been a game changer for the Medlin household. And I just wanted to read one quote from the book and then just invite you to go check it out for yourself. So John Mark Comer says this, "Because what you give your attention to is the person you become. Put another way, the mind is the portal to the soul, and what you fill your mind with will shape the trajectory of your character. In the end, your life is no more than the sum of what you gave your attention to." So that's why I stopped watching TV. Not all the way, but quite a bit. So anyway, great book. Check it out.
Man. All right. I'll go with number two here. And this is by a man that you all know and love deeply. But Dr. Mark Moore came out with a book, I think it was in the past year, something that it hit shelves, maybe longer, something like that. But it's called Core 52, if you haven't heard of it. I would recommend this to anyone, coach or not, but anyone who feels sort of maybe inadequate or unprepared in their knowledge of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So as coaches, there's a lot of that fear, like, what if a kid asked me this question and I have no idea? This is a great book that for you to go through just as a coach or to kind of walk through with your students. There's a student edition coming out very soon.
Yep.
And really the idea behind it is that Mark took sort of the story arc, the big picture of the Bible, the main themes, the most important stuff, and kind of just pulled out 52 key verses and the concepts that they speak to. as sort of like a 1-year intensive crash course towards biblical literacy.
Yep.
And he even, like, I'll read a quote of his from the introduction that sort of explains it. And he says, "You hold in your hand 52 of the most powerful passages in the Bible and a faithful representation of the Bible's full message. By grasping these vital few verses, you'll wrap your mind around the entire Bible with minimal time and effort." Yeah. And so I've read it. It's great. It's spot on to just give that, like, kind of flyover overview. No, you won't have the whole Bible memorized, but you'll have just such a deeper understanding. And as you understand the Bible more, there's life change that comes with that. So it's terrific.
Great read. Great read. Okay, number three. It's a book called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero. And this book was recommended to me years ago by an older pastor. His name's Josh. And he just said, "Jared, you got to pick up this book." And I would recommend this book for any coach who's just looking for some wisdom, looking for some practical coaching for developing the discipline of Bible reading, journaling, and praying. So if you're someone who maybe you've just struggled developing that routine, or you just feel all over the place, you can't seem to make journaling stick, or your prayer life feels a little bit dry, I think this is just such a practical book. And he spends a lot of the book breaking down a system that he has used for years to do those three things. And I hear people say it all the time. You probably have even heard me say it. Let's read our Bibles, let's pray. But how do we do that consistently? I think this book is an excellent practical guide for that. I'll read one quote that Wayne Cordero says. He says, "The question is never, does God speak? But rather, am I listening? To best hear what God has to say to you, you must still your heart. Set aside your pressing demands. Turn off all your electronic distractions. Rarely does God shout to make himself heard." So, great book. Hope you'll check it out.
Man, you just have all the deep quotes coming out now. But that's a great segue, because I wanted to, as we were talking through this list, I'm sure it's my contrarian personality, I thought we need one just kind of like outlier, one book that's just totally different than all the others. And so what came to mind was this this old school book. It's like super thin, but super deep and rich. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, we're going deep here.
Yeah.
This is a deep cut. But here's like the brief story or where this book comes from. It's a collection of like letters and conversations and a few writings from this 17th century French monk.
Nice.
I know. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing I'd be into. but he's, it's great. His whole like thing and what his, I mean, as the title indicates, it's all about living every moment of your life, whatever you're doing. He wasn't, we think monk and you think he was just studying and praying all the time. He was the cook and dishwasher in the monastery. So he was like always working, always doing stuff.
Interesting.
But found this way of just always being in communion with God. And that whether he was in the chapel praying or whether he was scrubbing pots in the kitchen, like he always felt the same amount of closeness and just conversation with God. And so you go through these writings and there's just all these little nuggets about that sort of mindset and the way to make your entire life an act of worship that I think is incredible.
Awesome.
It's a deep read. and I went online to make sure it's still in print and you can get it. And I found there's actually a modern English version now.
Cool.
Which is great. When I discovered this like 15 years ago, there was only the old English version, which you have to read very slowly, probably with a dictionary nearby.
These and thys.
It wasn't quite that bad, but just a lot. Even in the quote that I pulled from it, like who writes that way? Nobody anymore. So they fixed it. But it's so good. So let me just get this quote kind of sums up the Brother Lawrence's way of looking at things. He says, "So after having given myself wholly to God that he might take away my sin, I renounced for the love of him everything that was not he, and I began to live as if there was none but he and I in the world."
That's deep.
Yeah. That's what you got to like slow that down and like play it at half speed or something.
Yeah.
But it's just that mindset of no matter what's going on, or where I am in life or what I'm doing, like I'm always still in the presence of God and being aware of that. It's it's worth a read. I come back to that book probably a couple times or every couple of years. Yeah. I go back through it.
That's awesome. Thanks for bringing that suggestion. That's great. Okay, I'm going to land the plane. Book number 5. This is called The Way of the Shepherd by Kevin Lehman. And if you listen to last month's episode, we talked about the coach with the shepherd mindset. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we were talking about really is spoken about in this book. This is the book I recommend every student pastor read when they start a job as a student pastor at CCV. I actually would recommend it to every youth coach. If you don't like long, boring, exhaustive, super deep books, this will be a good one for you because it's short, it's simple, it's relatable.
Nailed it.
Yes, thank you. If you're someone who wants to grow as a godly leader in your family, in your workplace, or as a youth coach, this is the book for you. I promise it's not going to kill you to read this book. It's very simple, very practical, and I think you'll have direct applications for what you do as a youth coach at CCV. Here's a quote from Kevin Lehman from the book. It says, "If you give your people half-hearted leadership, you'll get a half-hearted following. But if you invest yourself in them, if you have a heart for them, your people will return your investment with a heartfelt following." It's such a good book. I hope you'll check it out. But really, all those books, man, the ones that you brought up, Eric, maybe something sticks out at you. And I really think that's the takeaway today is why don't you challenge yourself to pick one of these books to read between now and the end of the semester?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not giving you 5 books of assigned reading.
Right.
But like something that speaks to where you're at or the felt need you have. Yeah. In the next quarter, you can do that.
Yeah. I think it would just be a great way for you to grow and develop as a coach. That's really, again, Eric said it earlier, that's why this podcast exists. We want to help coaches get better because we know when the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. So we love you guys. Pick up a book, grab some coffee, some iced coffee because it's 1,000,000 degrees right now.
Yeah, no one's drinking hot coffee right now.
And we love you. We're excited to be regathering with you and we'll see you soon.